820, I'm Angino. Great having you here this evening. What I am really appreciative of at this point is that I have this up on my Facebook page about the Yes Means Yes law in California and the women who were posting. Like this one post from Rosa saying, I think a person should know what they are doing at all times. If you get too drunk, shame on you. Not only the guy, but the girl, too. With us right now on the 84 Lumber Newsline is Harry Crouch. He's the board president for the National Coalition for Men. Harry, welcome to KDKA. Good to have you on.
Thank you for having me.
Absolutely.
Sounds like you've already got this figured out.
Well it sure seems to me that... let me ask you this. Out in California, why is it that this thing seemed to have passed so overwhelmingly and just with common sense without ever reading any aspect of the bill? It isn't as though I sat down and read the whole thing. It's just looking at this and reading the news accounts of it, it's pretty obvious to me that this is a bad piece of legislation.
Well, I mean, I think you're accurate with that. As you know, we've been opposing this legislation for quite some time. If the question is, you know, how did it pass in California? Well, the answer is pretty simple. Our legislature is controlled by one party, and it's the same party that of our governor. And the legislation sprang from a piece of federal legislation called the Campus Sexual Assault Safety Act, which is still pending in Congress and has not passed.
Mm-hmm.
But that's where it comes from. Started a couple of years ago with an obnoxious letter from the Department of Education referred to as the Dear Colleague letter. Which basically put universities and colleges on notice that they would start doing some of these things or lose under threat of losing their federal funding.
Yeah, there are portions of this bill, this law now, I have to admit, do make sense. Okay. The part, I guess, that I'm the most bothered by is the part where someone who is drunk cannot give consent. Now, the part that says if you're drugged, you can't give consent. Well, of course you can't. That if you're unconscious, that you can't, of course. And I think there is right to put in protections that you can't let guys drug women and then sexually assault them that way. My hang up here is the idea of intoxication. And when you're looking at what happens on college campuses around the country, the level of intoxication with boys and girls, young men and young women, that part of it, to me, needs to be removed. I would be okay if everything else stayed. Is there a reason why I shouldn't be?
Well, several reasons why you shouldn't be, but let's not lose sight of the fact that women get young men drunk to have sex, too. So it's two-way street, not one way.
Okay.
And that's what the discussion fails to account for, which is absurd.
I think you make a great point there. There's this archaic view that men are the only ones who want sex, and then they use alcohol to get something out of women they otherwise don't want, when sometimes the reverse is true.
Almost any legitimate academic study or scholarly study, not advocacy research like we're dealing with here, but legitimate scientific research shows that that's about equal. As a matter of fact, we just posted on our Facebook page a couple days ago most current piece of research about genders and who commits what sort of sexual assault, or the rates anyway, mm-hmm. for young people in colleges, and it's roughly equal. But the legislation is gender neutral and gender inclusive, and our disloyal opposition will argue that point. It's not a matter of the way the law is written, and there's a couple larger issues than who's drunk, but it's a matter of how it's going to be enforced. And even one of the primary sponsors of the bill, when asked how it's going to be enforced, she said she didn't have a clue.
This law goes with the presumption of guilt, and now the person who is accused of committing a crime now has to virtually prove their innocence.
No, it doesn't make any difference whether they do or not. They're presumed guilty from the jump,
mm-hmm.
and it doesn't matter if they're shown to be innocent. We know of almost 50 cases now where that something like that has happened, or similar to that has happened, and the men are still being kicked off campus. I got a call from a young man in your area a couple days ago. He was in law school, and he filed against her and she filed against him, and it went through the process, and the school decided there wasn't much of anything against either one of them. So it all kind of died. The only difference was they wouldn't let him back in school. And they didn't document anything. They didn't have a record of it, mm-hmm. no record of a hearing. And so he's had to hire an attorney to sort this out. Of course, he's already got the mark on his forehead now, just like a Salem witch trial or something.
Right. Hey, go ahead. I'm sorry, go ahead.
Well, that's one of the problems. You know, there are no provisions in this legislation or the federal legislation that have anything to do with sanctioning false accusers. So, in fact, what it does is it licenses people to make accusations with no fear whatsoever of any sort of a sanction.
Mm-hmm.
I can assure you, a lot of people don't realize, but I can assure you that the consequences of being falsely accused of sexual assault are horrific. I mean, they're absolutely horrific.
Oh, yeah, because once the accusation is made and it becomes public, then you're virtually guilty and you're viewed as guilty from that point forward, and at least suspect and looked down upon. There's also a concern of, well, if she says yes and then at some point later she says, no, I really didn't say yes, then we're right back in the same situation all over again. At least that's the way I'm reading this. Harry, do me a favor. Hold tight right there. We have to pause here for a moment. News headlines are coming up in a couple. Harry Crouch, board president for the National Coalition for Men, and we'll take your phone calls, 866-391-1020. We are talking about California's yes means yes. Previously, it was no means no. And if the woman said no, then that was it. And she said, I said no. And he kept up. And then you have a sexual assault. Well, now there's this need for yes the whole way through. And with us right now on the 84 Lumber Newsline is Harry Crouch, board president for the National Coalition for Men. Some have said that when it comes to this yes, this affirmation, it's almost as though there needs to be that affirmation in a sober state, clear mind, at every step of the way, and it needs to be a verbal. Is that accurate to say?
No, nobody really knows.
Okay.
It can be, but, you know, let's say you even text each other and before you had a sexual act. Let's say you entered into a contract before you had a sexual act.
Uh-huh.
And during the sexual act, everything seems fine, but then the next day, for whatever reason, maybe her boyfriend finds out that she's had sex with somebody else, and she files a complaint to cover herself. There's nothing that the young man that she had sex with can really do about it. The way the laws are situated, and not just this one, but others, but it pretty much works like this. He has no right to an attorney, no right to have an advocate. He has no right to testify on his own behalf often. He has no right to submit evidence on his own behalf. Many times he has no right to cross-examine his accuser, who may be interviewed in secret, in confidence, by maybe a panel of four or five people, a couple from the Women's Studies Department, maybe a Title IX coordinator, and somebody else who's sympathetic to the cause. Now, I don't know how your listeners take that, but we take it to mean a total violation of due process rights, which everybody in this country is supposed to be entitled to. And in other countries, those sort of things are referred to as kangaroo courts.
Wouldn't this be something that could be challenged as unconstitutional, I would think, based upon what you're describing?
Well, sure.
Rather easily.
It will be. Well, I'm not sure about the easily part. But it will be, but this administration, like many others, make this brief, you know, this has been in the work for a long time, and the people who promote legislation like this, they full well know that a lot of it's unconstitutional, but if they can get it in place, and then push it where it basically becomes part of our institutions, to unwind that, even through the courts, will take decades. And so much damage can be done. I guess what really offends me personally is the fact that the people who pushed this legislation,
mm-hmm.
when they took an oath of office, they guaranteed to support this Constitution, state and federal.
Right.
And I often have to wonder how come their constituents don't rally to actually impeach them from office, because I know of fewer, more horrific pieces of legislation than this one. It's just so horrifically wrong.
What was the argument as you were fighting this throughout the legislative process for why no means no wasn't sufficient?
Basically, they want to turn the coin, try to make this. The no means no construct. They would see that as a patriarchal construct. And so they're trying to flip the coin under the guise of victim rights,
mm-hmm.
which assumes men are bad, women are good, and give more opportunity to the women to be believed when they make accusations of sexual assault. It really has nothing to do with protecting anybody from anything. It has to do with empowering women. That's pretty much it. The no means no argument on its face. There's nothing wrong with it. They're just trying to flip it around. That's all.
Were you surprised that the bill was pushed through by a man, Senator Kevin DeLeon?
Oh, heavens no. It didn't surprise me at all.
I mean, you would think that this would be something that would be pushed by women, that would be the primary force behind this, not a guy recognizing that somehow this is just bad for guys. Not only is it bad for guys, it's just bad for justice.
Well, you know, the Obama administration has been pushing this for quite some time. You know, Joe Biden, he takes credit for being the father of the Violence Against Women Act. If you listen to the presidential speech a while ago with respect to this is Domestic Violence Month, you know, he reemphasized some positions that the administration holds and then brought up the effort to do some of these things. And they've established a panel in Washington, D.C. to take a look at the university and college policies and procedures and make recommendations, which will be pretty much, they're already made.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you find them in the Campus Sexual Assault Safety Act as well as in SB 967. And so it's just a reiteration of the propaganda.
Were there moms that came out against this, at least the moms of sons?
Sure. Matter of fact, there's a new group of women who started a nonprofit organization because they're so concerned. We've identified, it's probably near 50 cases now, not just in California, but I've talked to a few mothers in California where lawsuits have been filed. And when you talk to them, you talk about the stories about their, you know, it doesn't just impact, you know, the people that pass this legislation simply have a cold heart. Because when these young men get falsely accused,
mm-hmm.
it doesn't just impact them. It impacts their whole family.
You're right.
Their brothers or sisters or father, their mother, mm-hmm. cousins, friends. Everybody's involved. Everybody's hurt. And often the family is drained of resources because they have to reach out to the legal system to, in an effort to save their son. And none of that sort of stuff comes up in discussion with these legislators, like Senator DeLeon in California. I mean, if you watched him during his committee meetings over this bill, it was disgusting. I mean, you know, he's quaffed. He looks like the young politician who's being groomed for higher office, and he's acting like it. And when confronted by people from our side of the aisle who put questions to him, he was arrogant,
mm-hmm.
his response. And he really couldn't think past what he had been taught to say, in my opinion. So, you know, there's no sincere effort there to hurt any or help anybody. It's just a process of that particular piece of politics from that particular ideology. There is no evidence anywhere, and I would challenge anybody, there's no evidence anywhere to even suggest what's happening here will help anybody, be successful, prevent anything from happening to anybody.
Do you see this, and once again, we're talking with Harry Crouch, who's board president for the National Coalition for Men. Right now, we're dealing with what's happening on college campuses throughout the state of California. But why should this only apply if what they're saying is accurate? then I would think that the next step is to try to reach beyond a college campus. Why should this only apply there? I would think that they would have aspirations of having this move beyond that.
Well, I would. That's a great question, but I would also say, if it's such a great thing, how come people like Senator De Leon didn't propose it for himself? But I think you will see
that's
that that's coming soon. I don't know how soon, but I would agree with you that it's around the corner.
How concerned do you think people should be in Pennsylvania that now that this has passed in California, that other states could look at this and then adopt it as well?
Well, I've heard Arizona is already trying to implement pretty much the California law. You know, there's the old saying, as California goes, so goes the rest of the nation. Unless you're Texan, then it's Texas. But it will spread. We know that, you know, some universities adopted such these policies or similar policies before the legislation hit California. At least that's what they're now alleging, although I haven't seen any evidence of it prior to this, prior to the effort of the federal government. We have a new chapter down in North Carolina that was formed pretty much specifically for this, because one of the young men involved was falsely accused at University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill. Matter of fact, we just had a protest there a couple weeks ago. And so these policies and procedures are already widespread. It's just that this bill has brought the public attention to it, but the damage has already been done. More interesting to me, I think, at the federal level, mm-hmm. the two most contentious provisions, the one of yes means yes, and the reduction of due process rights, meaning from clear and convincing evidence to preponderance of evidence, which is what people use if they're disputing who stole a packaged frozen chicken, have been removed from the federal legislation. And it's our understanding that that bill will probably not pass through the legislature this year, but the damage has already been done through California. And that was all intentional. That was part of the game plan.
Mm-hmm.
This is a very clever, orchestrated effort to do this throughout the nation. And it's getting done. The universities have been, they all have Title IX coordinators. They all have diversity coordinators. There's an article in one of the California, UC San Diego. People are taking offense to hiring a new position. In one of those positions, $250,000 a year, because they've already got 20 of them. The point being that universities no longer are empathetic to men or young men.
Mm-hmm.
They're pretty much there under the guise of, not the guise, they're pretty much there driven by an ideology. I wouldn't even say a feminist ideology, but it's current, but it's turned into something more sinister, and frankly, I'm not sure exactly what it is.
Right. My guess is that at this point, well, let just ask you directly and not presume anything. When it comes to advice that is given to college-age young men now, what is it in light of this law?
I mean, what advice would I give?
Yes.
I honestly don't know. I fear for my grandson. It's almost like you should send your kids to college in Europe or someplace. You know, get them out of this country for education. Because think of it this way. You know, the advocacy research that whoever does this put out to the public, the propaganda was that 1 in 5 women will be sexually assaulted.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Correct? That's how they sold this. But if you look at how they came about that, what you'll find is some of the questions applied to, like, if you've ever been sexually assaulted, some definitions within the sexual assault would be like an offensive comment somebody made that you thought was offensive. The studies classified it as sexual assault. But regardless of the nature of the study, if you're a parent mm-hmm. and you have a son or daughter, are you intentionally going to send them to a university where you know they have a 1 in 4 or 5 chance of being sexually assaulted? It's absurd. It's absolutely absurd.
Harry Crouch, once again, board president for the National Coalition for Men, joining us on the 84 Lumber Newsline. Harry, thank you very much for your time.
Thank you very much. I appreciate you having us.
Absolutely. Great talking to you this evening.